applicant.
Very good. Okay. So welcome everybody. This is Ajahn Brahm and I am in our office in Bodhinyana Monastery over in Serpentine because we have lockdown now. And so we only found out about that yesterday. And in order to go back to monastery in plenty of time, so I left last night from Serpentine. But nevertheless, it's important that we continue on our teachings, and especially the teaching on meditation. So this live streaming is to replace the meditation class we usually have on a Saturday. And this is on the 24th of April, 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Perth time. So welcome everybody to this online meditation class. So as usual, I will give some talk about meditation for roughly 15 minutes. And after the 15 minutes, then we'll do some guided meditation. And the latter half of that guided meditation period for 45 minutes, we will I'll be silent. And they finish around 4 p.m. And at 4 p.m. will be the opportunity to send in your questions or comments as best we possibly can. But first of all, I must say that teaching meditation in a place like Nolamara in Buddhaloka Center is much preferable for me anyway, and I believe for other people, than having that meditation taught online here. And the reason I say that is because sometimes places have energy, and people have energy too. I always remember meditating with someone like an Ajahn Chah, and it was as if that his peace and stillness would actually pull you in to deeper states of peace and stillness. It's as if you could like harmonize with his state of mind and become very, very still. And at the same time, places. There are many places which I know which have great peaceful energy. And one of those places is just maybe 150 meters from here, which is our meditation hall here in Serpentine. And our meditation hall in Bodhinyana Monastery, I do know why, but it has some really great energy for meditating. Even during a recent retreat, I encouraged some of the meditators to walk over here from Jhana Grove. It's roughly about 15 minutes walk. And once they get into the meditation, once in the meditation hall, actually to sit down as close to the front as you possibly can and meditate there. And people find that the meditation is much easier in a place like Bodhinyana Monastery than it is in other places. And the reason is because there have been so many monks and nuns who have been meditating there for so many years. And the place has almost soaked up the energy of peace and ready to release it to those who can sit down and meditate peacefully enough as if they get a boost by the surroundings. And I've seen that so many times over so many years. And the classic case was of the man who built our concrete 30,000 gallons water tanks many, many years ago. And this Australian built these all by himself, this incredibly strong man. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't mind working 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day. And in the end, I was just so grateful for him. But I invited him, I never invited him, he actually asked me. He asked me, he said, "Brahm, would you mind if I look inside your church?" And that's what he called our meditation hall. He's an Aussie, maybe about 50 years of age. And so I took him inside our church, the meditation hall. And I will never forget that experience because he had big boots on, his work boots. He said, "Do I have to take these off?" And I said, "Well, look, you can just go into the or the antechamber, and then just I'll open the door so you can put your head around and have a look. So that's good enough. And when he did that, he was talking so fast and so loud, sort of all the way up to the Dhamma hall, the meditation hall. As he went inside the first set of doors into this little lobby, he was still talking loud, but as soon as his head went around the corner into the main room, it was astonishing just how he just totally went quiet. It's as if like his mouth had fallen out of his body, that he was silent. And I let him be silent now, I was just standing next to him, letting him have a good look. And he looked in there for about 3 or 4 minutes, so quite a long time. And then he pulled his head out and he said to me with a wonderful, almost like a smile of holiness, he said, "Wow, this is good, ain't it, Brahm?" His little way of appreciating the fact that the silence there in the hall, the power of peace in that building, had calmed him down. And silenced this man so much, a man who'd never done meditation before, who didn't really understand what a Buddhist monastery was about and just what peace was about. He felt it, he touched it, and it made him so quiet. And in the same way that when you can touch peace, maybe not inside the room in your house where you're meditating, if you're meditating at home, and of course because of the sudden lockdown in Perth due to COVID cases, that's probably where you are meditating, in your garden or in your house. We're not supposed to go out and congregate in places of religious worship. But nevertheless, if that's your own home, it may not be as quiet as Bodhinyana Monastery Hall. But there is still something about silence which you can recognize in the place where you're sitting right now. You'll notice silence if you start looking for it. Even if it's in a reasonably noisy place, if you don't attend to the noise, in other words, it's like a background, an ambience, like traffic in the background. If you don't attend to it and you go inside, you can still get a lot of peace and quietness, any place, anywhere. And if you learn how to do this, you'll find once you touch the peace, once you can recognize what peace is and how beautiful silence is, you'll be like that concrete worker who made our water tanks for us. It's as if the silence is so strong, it overcomes all the noise. It sort of stops the thinking. You just can't say anything about silence. It doesn't have a name. You can't write an essay about it. You can't improve it or take away from it. The silence sucks away all that thinking and you become really, really, really peaceful. So that's one of the reasons why if a person can focus on peace, on silence, while they are meditating, then you'll find that silence inside the mind increases, stabilizes, and establishes itself inside of you. You realize the peace of silence is far stronger than all the thinking. And of course, after a while also, you'll probably realize just what a waste of time most of your thinking was. Most of your planning, if you look down upon what you plan and how much of it is really necessary, you find that most of it didn't work out the way you expected. And the plans were just a waste of time. They were just a reaction to the fear of losing control over the future. As for someone like an Ajahn Brahm, you just let the future unfold. You don't make plans. As far as I was concerned, my plans was being in Dhammaloka this weekend in Nolamara at BSWA headquarters. Never thought I'd be here, but you just make adjustments and enjoy whatever life presents you and make the most of it. But the thing which I can always find wherever I go in life is this beautiful silence. It's there. It's, You just look for it. Many people just don't even start looking for it, so of course they can't find it. You start hearing it, feeling it. And that peace, that silence, you can find, again, as said many times, in a space between the words. When one sound stops, and another has yet to begin. That silence, you can see that in the spaces, just like you see the spaces in the room rather than the things in the room, just like you see the spaces in the sky, not just the stars or the moon. As you realize, as you look out to the horizon, there is millions of miles between you and what you're seeing in the far distant galaxies. So much emptiness, so much space, so much peace and stillness. And once you start to notice that in life, respect it, value it, and enjoy it, then when you're meditating, you've got your body is nice and peaceful, and you go inside your mind, and that becomes really, really peaceful, and that peace becomes so strong. Even the feeling of stillness is so powerful that after a while you can't hear anything outside. After a while you can't feel your body. After a while you're just deep inside having a wonderful time, peaceful, silent. And that silence, that peace, is one of the most happiest experiences you can have. It's like a drug, only it doesn't take any chemicals to encourage and establish. It's like a great high, but you don't have to win anything or complete any achievements to get that high. It's a beautiful place where you can rest for a long time, and it's also incredibly healthy for you. Every time when I do my meditation and go inside and really peaceful inside, it still surprises me just when I come out of the meditation, you feel your body. That's making the transition from the inside to the outside. You become aware of your body and you find it's incredibly relaxed. No aches, no pains, and it's like you know that your body is healthy, at ease, at peace. Everything is flowing quite freely. You don't have to worry about it at all. Everything is just in its right place. The blood is flowing the right way. There's no traffic jams. There's no aches, there's no pains, and the body feels so healthy. I must admit that even after I wake up in the morning, get out of bed, I never feel as healthy as after I've opened my eyes after a deep meditation, after a good meditation. Those meditations create the best health for you, because you will know how to access that inner silence, that inner peace. It's beautiful, it's gorgeous, and not that hard. But of course, if you try to grab it, if you search for it, look for it, grab it, you don't get anything except frustration. You learn how to notice it. Not look for it, but notice it. And once you start to notice it, it becomes stronger and stronger, more and more peaceful, more powerful, more easy to see. And very rewarding, not just to your spiritual health, but to your physical health as well. And that's one of the reasons why the people meditate, and it doesn't just give you, benefits of good health, long life. It also gives you another way you can rest deeply inside. And as a result of that, the brain becomes stronger, the mindfulness becomes stronger, and what you see inside your meditation becomes deeper because of stronger mindfulness. And that's where all the great insights come from. All the great insights of Buddhism come from your deep meditation. And then you check them out in the books and say, oh yeah, that's what the Buddha meant. That's what you can see and that's how it works. So that's a little introduction to the meditation today. And now it's the opportunity to actually to do the meditation. So if you'd like to get in your meditation posture, however that is for you. And of course, you probably realize that most of the times I'm sitting on the floor when I meditate. And I must admit, I love that posture. That's the way I love meditating, if I possibly can. But of course, today I'm on a chair, because in this, we call it the studio here in Bodhinyana Monastery, the camera is set up to be head height for someone sitting on a chair. So I'm going to sit on the chair for 45-minute meditation. So however you need to sit, fine. So you don't have your photograph taken all the time. You're not on video, so you can do whatever you want. You can stand on your head if you want. But I wouldn't recommend that, because that's quite uncomfortable. But nevertheless, please get into a comfortable meditation posture now. I will actually adjust my posture too, because sitting on a chair takes a little bit more care, because I don't usually sit like this. There we go. And I tell everybody, without any exaggeration, it was 7 years when I was a young monk in Thailand. I never sat on a chair once in 7 years, because there wasn't any chairs. And so even if you had a chair to do the meditation talk, even on that you sat cross-legged on the top of the chair. So anyway, here we go. Ready for the meditation. I'm on a chair today too. So close your eyes. And with the eyes closed, start to be aware of your bodily posture. And just let the body just settle down. If you need to fidget, please do so now. A fidget now will save a lot of aches and pains later. And then once you assume you have a good posture, again, look again, but this time looking more detail. So I'm going to start with checking my feet. So I had my feet just almost on my toes. So I'm going to flatten my feet on the floor. I'm going to move them either away from the base of the chair, or towards them, or towards each other, or away from one another. This is in my belt. So especially with my feet, sitting on the chair, I check how far apart they are, where they're positioned. Are they comfortable? Because in meditation, you're looking for a certain type of comfort, something you can maintain for 45 minutes. Now that feels good. Then I go up for my feet, my ankles and calves. In order to be aware of those parts of the body, as with any parts of my own body, I just ask a question: how are you? How are you, ankles? And that sends my attention to that part of my body. But it shows concern and expresses the first part of kindness. You have enough interest to just ask. Ask my ankles, how are you? And because I've done this again many years, I get an answer straight away. My ankles feel comfortable as they can be. So I check my ankles, I go up to the calves of my legs, the bottom half of the legs on both sides. How are you? I can feel like the I don't know what the word is, a tingle on my skin. And the muscles of my calves are quite relaxed. Everything feels okay there. So I move up and go to my knees. I've looked after my knees for the last 69 years. So they're usually quite at peace. I still check them anyway. One thing I notice, I'm just putting my attention on my knees and adding that extra quality of kindness, softness, care. I can feel those muscles, I don't know if they're muscles, the tendons or whatever in my knees, start to relax. There's not an ache or a pain there to begin with, but now the absence is even more clear. The thing is relaxing. Just like my knee ligaments or whatever it's called, are just like being bathed in warm water, in a bath. There's no tension in there. So everything relaxes to the max. I use that word relaxing to the max not as a joke. But I do this to parts of my body, relax and then relaxing parts of the body to the maximum I can effect. I was going to say to the maximum I can do, but I don't do this. I'm kind, I let them be. They relax by themselves. It's something you learn about the art of relaxation. You try and force relaxation, try and do it, and it just gets more tense. You give kindness and care, and then the body relaxes by itself. And you're mindful enough to know that as it's happening, you can feel it. And I go to my thighs, big massive muscles, checking if there's any tightness, tension anywhere. There's a bit of tightness under the where the thighs meet the edge of the stool I'm sitting on. I can feel a bit of pressure there. And as I move up towards my butt, I can feel that most of the pressure is on those muscles, the continuation of the thighs in the butt. And I often make sure that that is well positioned. Because I meditated when I was young with too many butt aches, simply because I never cared enough to begin with to make sure the posture of my butt was comfortable. Today, butt feels fine. And I go up to my waist. Stretch the back. And then relax it, loosen it. And if you're mindful of part of the body like your own back for long enough, you soon get to know its best positions. The awareness gives you a whole lot of data, knowledge. You know which positions are the best. Now my back is a really good position. Then I go to the front of my body. And I just allow the awareness to rise up my body, going past my lower intestines, the colon. There's lots of organs, I don't really know their name or where they're supposed to be. I just feel as I go up the body, if there's any ache or pain somewhere, any tightness, I will pause, give kindness and relax. As I'm moving up, get to my chest, that's like my stomach. Well, it's a tiny bit tense, so I'm going to pause there. It's probably just 3 hours ago having my lunch. Just over 3 hours. The stomach probably hasn't digested everything yet. Still working there. I can feel it. I give it kindness. And I'm always knowing as that feeling in my stomach changes, it gets more relaxed, more at ease. If I find it getting more tense, I'm going the wrong direction. So I try something else. The mindfulness gives you feedback. And it's a feedback is what teaches me how to relax. It feels nice now. So I go up past my chest, relaxing all the way. Then I get back up to the top of my torso and my shoulders. They're special muscles and they're often in a state of tightness for me. Not that tight, but I can feel they're tight. They need to be relaxed. I imagine them, these muscles on either side of the spine. I imagine them being pulled apart. I imagine letting go of both ends. Then it works every time, it just works. I can feel those muscles easing off, they're not being pulled apart so much. And straight away they feel so much more at ease. And I go down my arms. I can feel the mindfulness going down to my elbows. In the elbows to check they're okay. They feel fine. If you need to pause anywhere, please do so. But when you do pause, give so much kindness there. Open the door of your heart to that sensation, wishing it well. And you find that just eases off the tightness. And you go down to the forearms, down to your wrists and your hands. The hands are very easy to be aware of because there's so many nerve endings in it, it's the most sensitive part of your body. So I feel my hands, how they're positioned. I feel their position, I was about to move it because it's a strange position. The fingers interlocked. But I ask my hands, how are you? My hands replied, look, we're fine like this, leave us alone. It's my body makes the decisions, not me. And it feels comfortable down there. So I move away. With my best wishes. Go back up to my neck. Oh, my neck is quite tense today. It surprised me. You're aware? So I'm going to move my head around, a bit of stretching and exercising my neck. I think my head was a bit too far down before. Now I can feel it and balance it. Not too far forward, not too far back, not too far to either side. I feel my neck. It feels comfortable now. And then I go to my face. Especially the muscles around the eyes and the mouth. Maybe the nose and the forehead. I know those muscles very well. Having meditated with them for so many years. and I know how to relax them. Starting especially with the muscles around my eyes. Feel just how to loosen all that tightness and tension in those muscles. All the tightness around the mouth. It is a letting things be. And then they get loose all by themselves. And I often remark that this softens the emotions in your mind, which often tense up those muscles around the eyes and the mouth. So learning how to be at ease with those muscles and calm them down also has the result of calming any emotional fear or tension or ill will or wanting. Some of those emotional hindrances are played out on the face. Relax the face. Really relax it. And much of the emotions go as well. The negative emotions they are. Not the positive ones, they stay. And then I join all these parts of my body together. One unit, not parts. And I feel the whole body, all connected. I've relaxed the most important areas where I can. And the result of that is the body feels at ease, delightful. It's a very pleasant feeling. When you notice how relaxed your body is, you can spend time with mindfulness and kindness creating that relaxation. Body feels great and enjoyable. Don't get many joys as a monk. Actually we do, in inner joys. But this is one of those physical joys we get. Knowing how to relax the body so deeply. And it feels good. And I get off on that joy. I use the joy as a focus of my meditation for a couple of minutes. You ask me what I'm aware of right now. It's a joy of relaxation. And I notice as I focus on it, here it comes. And now it's really in there. As I focus on that joy, my body gets even more relaxed. Probably the only way I can get into such a deep state of relaxation is through the focusing on the joy of relaxation. That's what makes it deeper. I'm going to pause here for a little while. And then, knowing my body has been well set up, and knowing that mindfulness has been strengthened and is now accompanied by this wonderful kindness. Mindfulness and kindness equals kindfulness. Now I can go deeper. Go into my peaceometer. How peaceful am I right now? Amazing, really, quite peaceful. Give it a number from 1 to 10 if you want, those listening. Just to give yourself a marker, a reading of how much peace you have. And don't judge it, good or bad. Some of this is out of your control. Just how much you've been doing and have to do in life. But how peaceful do you feel right now? From 1 to 10, 10 really agitated, 1 really peaceful. And how does this reading on your own peaceometer get closer to 1? What disturbs the peace? What makes peace more deep? And of course, you all know, I've said many times, present moment awareness. The past, you can put it down, leave it alone. If you want to deal with it later, not now. Much of the past, you're not seeing the truth of the past, you're seeing what you want to see. And you can't see just what you're in denial to. The past is not truthful. Let the past go, because you'll learn much more from the present moment, from now, than you will ever learn from the future or the past. Now is where you get wisdom and peace. And the future, now is where your future is being made. To put more attention in this present moment. And you don't get dragged off into the future. So seeing the value in the present moment, it outweighs the past and the future many, 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 many times. And number two, when you stay in the present moment, you can rest. And the mind becomes stronger and more delightful. Just the joy of being free from the past and the future and just having this moment to be your friend for the next half an hour. That is just such a beautiful opportunity. Spend time with the present. You'll learn so much. Can you notice peace inside start to grow? It's hard to describe peace, but you can recognize it, you can know it. Beautiful, profound peace. No words can describe it. Words can only disturb it and cover it up. So open up to peace. Just know it without trying to own it. And soon you'll be able to be aware of your breathing. Just know the breath as it comes in, you know it as it goes out. It's like an old friend, very simple old friend. What it does is come in and go out. Just like the waves on the beach, come up the shore and recede again. The breath coming into your body. And receding again. Imagining the air like the great ocean. The great ocean of atmosphere. You can't control the breathing. No more you can control the intensity or the speed or the power of the waves coming up the shore and receding again. You just watch, that's all. You know, without controlling. And the peace is still there. And soon, see if you can notice the delight being able to just watch the breath come in and go out. It's peaceful. It's almost delicious. And don't avoid that delight. Because that delight will keep your attention on your breathing and will lead to very, very deep states of meditation. Just being aware of the delightful breath. I'm going to be quiet now. When I start speaking again, it will be a couple of minutes before the end of the meditation. it's getting close to the end of this meditation period now. How do you feel inside? How much peace, joy is inside of you? After a while, we respect peace so much, we incline towards it. It becomes like a refuge for us when we meditate. And the peace is very clear, energized, powerful. It's not the same as sleepiness. It's its opposite. And then when you come out from inside onto your body, you find the body is really relaxed. Just looking at my legs, and they're just so at ease. My back and my torso, arms and head, just like they're waking up again. I'm becoming aware of them. They've had a really good rest, and they feel great. So I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. The gong is not the same as I use in Nolamara temple. This is more dingy. So here it comes. 3 strokes of the gong to end today's meditation. Oh, that's not bad. Oh, that's good. Oh. Excellent. So now we have the questions on the screen. I just got to pause to get my thinking process going again. Still recall that 6 month meditation retreat, which I did in silence by myself, never saw anybody for 6 months. And afterwards, when one of the monks came down to ask how I was, he couldn't think. I knew I had to, so I forced my brain into doing words. And I always remember that headache for 3 days. Just because my brain was just so happy, just knowing, seeing, feeling, didn't have to think about anything. So after a while to get the brain just warmed up, and now the questions. The first one from Germany. Please explain the difference between meditation and mindfulness. And how do you let go when negative feelings put you down? How do you empty your daily weight? Meditation and mindfulness. Mindfulness is just being aware. Just being aware of the problem is not enough. If you see a problem, you see there's a bushfire, say that's what we have over here in Australia. Oh, I'm mindful, there's a bushfire. You get some water and put it out, or you run away, or alert the authorities. So mindfulness is just a part of the process. Meditation is much more than that. You already mentioned that the kindfulness is, that's increasing it much more. But in a recent retreat which I taught to our Thai community here, I mentioned to them that if you really want to put mindfulness in perspective, then you've got to start with things like right view. Why are you being mindful? What's your view of life? And one of those right views which makes mindfulness very strong and powerful is, please excuse me, but it's the right view of non-self, that you're not doing this, you're not there. There's no one there. And when you have that right view, then the right motivations, it's obviously no one there, you're acting out of renunciation, nothing to do with you, of letting go, of kindness and gentleness. And all those precepts we talk about in the Eightfold Path, right speech, right action, right livelihood, they all come together based on that right view and that right motivation. And then the effort is one again of renouncing, loosening the hold of what we call five hindrances of wanting and not wanting and stuff. And then once that is established, then mindfulness is easy, because it's coming from the right place. And of course, that's not the end of things, just being mindful. When you're really mindful and kind, and it comes from the right place, you tend to disappear. You get so peaceful, so still. First, your body just vanishes, and it's fine. You know, when you're not just bothering it all the time. And then the mind gets very peaceful and still. You get into these deep jhanas, beautiful states of mind. And based on that information, the full Eightfold Path, full transcending this world and any other world as well, then you become enlightened. So next part question, how do you let go when negative feelings put you down? Hey, putting who down? Putting your idea of yourself down. Is negative feelings? Feelings are just feelings, but our relationship to them, I don't want this, I shouldn't have that, that's what makes them negative. And there is the old simile, if you haven't heard this before, of the monster who came into the emperor's palace. The monster was ugly, negative, was violent, bad speech, bad smell, bad everything. And all the workers in the palace, especially the soldiers and security, try to get the monster get out. But every unkind word, unkind act, any negative response, the soldiers, the security, the workers in the palace gave to this big monster, the monster just grew bigger and more ugly. And when the emperor came back, the emperor took one look at that monster and said, welcome. Thank you for coming to visit me. Anyone got you something to drink yet? Something to eat? And the emperor was so kind to the monster that every kind word, act or thought, the monster just grew an inch smaller every time. Less ugly, less offensive, less smelly. And so after just only a few minutes, the monster was back to the size when it first came in. After a few more minutes, the monster was so tiny that one more act of kindness and vanished completely away. And the Buddha called that the anger-eating monsters. They feed on anger and negativity. So if negative feelings or something come into your body or your mind, welcome them. Thank you for coming to visit me. They're not putting you down. They're giving you an opportunity for wisdom. And how do you empty your daily weight? It's just by not carrying it around. It's what Ajahn Chah would say. I hope you can see this. See this little stick over here? How heavy is this stick? It's no weight at all when you let it go. Now, Vincent from Indonesia. When having a peaceful meditation, the body suddenly feels like a feather light. That's nice. I can't... the next statement. I can't overcome the excitement of the new feeling, keep labeling it with, wow, how to overcome this. it's still one, number one. Well done, Vincent. You're getting some wow feelings. But it's true. You feel, oh, I got wow. I just feel very light. Wow, wow, wow. There's much more than that. So have a couple of wow meditations for yourself. I don't want to take that pleasure away from you. But then, at the beginning of your next meditation, reprogram your mindfulness. By the beginning of the meditation, with your eyes closed, sitting down, say to yourself, when the meditation becomes peaceful, I will not say wow. When the meditation becomes peaceful, I will not say wow. When the meditation becomes peaceful, I will not say wow. In your own words, but repeat it three times. Pay full attention to what you're programming yourself to do. Then forget it. You don't forget it, it's the seeds in there. And you'll be surprised that when you get to that stage of meditation where you normally say, well, you don't. You've reprogrammed your response mechanism. And it works really, really well. That's basically the best way to overcome those wows. And then you go much deeper and you get really amazing feelings. You go, wow, again. So you have to reprogram. Even that feeling, I mustn't say, wow. That's nice. Meditation's going well. Well done, Vincent. How can I let go of health concerns, obsessions, like being worried when I breathe in dirty air, I've had unhealthy food? You know that unhealthy food, dirty air, the human body has been eating all sorts of things for so many centuries. And, you know, your body has actually got a lot of mechanisms to deal with dirty air, or what they call unhealthy food. So, but the biggest problem of dirty air or unhealthy food is the worry you have about it. The worry is the biggest problem, which is one of the reasons why when you do some meditation, you stay in this present moment. The present moment is a much nicer place to be in than worrying about the future, which will probably never happen. So, see if you can do some more meditation to let go of the worry. This, I was told this story the other night about the lady who, not the lady, it was an organisation, the Cancer Support Association, then it got another name, it's currently called Solaris Cancer Centre. But I've been going there for almost 35 years, every year teaching there. And one of the things which really turned them on to the teachings which I give, you know, there's a Buddhist teaching, so this is not a Buddhist centre, it's a cancer centre. So anyway, one of the teachings which I gave there happened when this woman, at the end of my first talk I gave, the very first talk I gave at their place, put her hand up, asked a question, said, I am in remission from a very severe cancer, but I'm worried, what would happen if it comes back again? A very simple question. If you've been through, you know, the pain and difficulty and the fear of a cancer, what would happen if it comes back? I don't think I can take it again. My answer was a very simple answer. What would happen if it didn't come back? You know, that was a simple answer, but that really hit home. She never contemplated that before. So that's how she started thinking. What happens if it doesn't come back? She stopped her worry. And for over 30 years, you know, she would come every year to see me. She never said why. For 30 years, the cancer never came back, but I came back. Question two, does it matter whether I sit or lie down for meditation? No, you can lie down when you meditate, but be careful because many people go to sleep when they lie down. So if you lay down with meditation, make sure you're a long way from a pillow. You're comfortable, but, you know, you're telling your body, your mind, psychologically, this is not sleep time, this is meditation time, then it's fine. And lastly, how do we cast our burden aside during meditation? One way you can do it, if it's a financial burden, you've got too much money, you can donate it to the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. I don't think that's what you mean. I don't know what burdens you have. And I'm supposed to be running monasteries, supposed to be, what else am I supposed to be doing? I'm not sure, but when I think about it, I've got lots of burdens. But the nice way of doing it is actually learning how to be in this present moment. And how to do that? And as you close your eyes and you imagine these two heavy bags, shopping bags, one in your left hand, one in your right hand. Yeah, if you get on some of these guided meditations I do, you'll find that somewhere. Imagine a big heavy bag in your left hand and you look on it. This is imagination, an exercise. You imagine a big heavy bag and you see on the outside of that bag the four letters P-A-S-T, the past. Because in that bag is all the memories which you carry around with yourself 24/7, even when you're asleep you start worrying about them. And in your right hand there's another bag that's got the letters on the outside, F-U-T-U-R-E. That's your future. In there is all your anxieties and fears, and your dreams as well. All packed inside this bag in your right hand. There's nothing bad about that, except you keep holding that and carrying it around all the time. No wonder you're tired. No wonder they become burdens. And then you imagine in the meditation, leaning to the left and lowering the bag in your left hand to the floor. And when it meets the ground, the weight disappears. That means you can move your left hand and arm up to your side so it can relax. It doesn't feel any burden, you put it down for a while. Then you do the same with the bag in your right hand, the future. You imagine all that stuff you're worried about, what might happen next, and all the stuff you dream about might happen. You lower that to the ground. When that meets the ground, meets the floor, the weight's gone. And that allows you to move your hand away from the handle so it's loosely by your side, to recover. And then you look down in your imagination, the two bags on the ground, the past and the future, and your feet, where you are right between them, in this magical place called now, the present moment, a place where you can rest and relax and build up the muscles in your arms so they can later on, at the right time when you've rested, after your meditation, pick up those two bags and they feel much lighter after you've rested. You can walk through life without them being a burden. So I believe, is that the last question?
Did you want some more?
It's 4:14, yeah, we're running out of time.
I've already said that.
Okay, so I'll give a little blessing for you all. Thank you for joining in. I hope you enjoyed the online meditation. I certainly did. So this is my blessing for you all. Sabaro gawini muto sabasanta powajito sabawera mati gando nibuto chatuang bawasabitio wiwa chantu sabaro gawina satumate Bhavan vantarayo sukhi digayu gopava apivadan hasilitsanichang vutapachalino chataro dhammavatansi ayuvano sukhang.